Thank you so much. Almost 19 years ago, the day after accepting a call to Lakeland Presbyterian Church, the very first pastor to call me on the phone to both congratulate me and challenge me about the new charge was Dr. Jim Baird. And through the years, he's been a great encouragement, source of encouragement to me in the gospel. And we are very happy to have Dr. Baird here to minister God's word to us. Thank you.
I'm so old, I forgot that phone call. That was a good idea, though. He's had a great run with you people. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's our text. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. The Apostle Paul is in prison. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Who's on the throne? Nero. Paul is in a Roman prison. He will be executed someday, shortly, by Nero. Nero is brilliant. Nero is half crazy. There are a lot of people like that, who are very successful. But boy, they got two sides to their life. Now, this sermon today I have in mind, if you're young, you young people, you better listen to this sermon. If you're an old person, you listen to this sermon. If you're a man, you listen to this sermon. If you're a woman, you listen to this sermon. Rejoice. If you are physically infirmed today, you listen. If you are really pretty strong, have I forgotten about anybody? This is for everybody, for everybody. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter while he is in prison to a congregation just like this. This letter is written to Christians as a congregation, young and old. He is in prison. He knows that he's going to die. He's writing back to this congregation. He's in Rome. They are in Greece, in the city of Philippi. He tells them that the sacrifice that Nero is bringing upon Paul is going to one day come to them. And he says to them, rejoice. And again he says, in case you missed it, I say rejoice. Not only that, the text in the original language is in the command text. It's not an option. I was in a church one time, not too long ago, and I wasn't preaching exactly on this subject or on this text, but I was dealing with trusting the Lord and having joy and having peace in your life. And it was in a church, but it was not in a worship service. It was with a group of people who were older. And to be frank with you, people who were hurting. And in this whole thing, this woman challenged me that there was no joy in her life and she didn't have the privilege of having joy because of this and this and this and that. And I used this text and I said it was in the command text. And she said, I don't care. I am not under God qualified, nor does he expect me to be happy. And I simply said to her, I feel sorry for you if you won't listen. Is there anybody here like that today? Are you going to listen to God? It's in the command tense, rejoice in the Lord always. Always means always. I don't care what the circumstances are. Jane and I were traveling, this had been many, many years ago, And we were on our way going through Alabama, outside of Montgomery, and we were told there was a certain restaurant there. And so we stopped at that restaurant, and it was nice, and we went in. And while we were having our waitress and trying to tell her what we wanted, suddenly four men walked in. They were wearing big black hats, and they were all in black suits. And she just left us and ran over there, and she got an autograph from one of them. It was Garth Brooks. I asked, who was that? She was offended. I thought we weren't going to get any food. And I watched him. And we paid the bill basically nearly at the same time. We walked outside the same time. I watched him get in a car. It was a Ford. He got in the back seat. I was impressed. And I said to myself, I'm going to find out about this guy. And so I have begun back then, I watched him on television being interviewed. And he was real happy, and the girl was saying, tell us everybody why. He said, I've just had a granddaughter born to me, and I'm so happy. And she says, what would you like for your granddaughter musically? What would you like? He says, I only want one thing. I want her to be happy. My little baby granddaughter. And then he said this, doesn't everybody want to be happy? How about you? Is there anybody here who wants to be miserable? We all want to be happy. But I want to tell you, there's a difference between, you see, the Bible never uses the word happy. The Bible always uses, in lieu of the word happy, the word joy. There's a huge difference. You see, here's the difference. Happy is based upon things that happen to you, that happen to you. You see, it's inherent within the words. Happiness, as it happens to you, the way you want it to happen. I'll be happy. It means if my team wins, man, oh man, oh man. If I won that fight last night, or if I won that basketball game last night, I'm happy, happy, happy. If I got beat, if I lost, I'm not happy. The way things happen to you, if somebody here is really hurting, and by the way, when I began my ministry, a man came and told me after he had heard me preach, he said, I want to tell you something about your preaching. I said, shoot me, I need it. Tell me, please. I respect you, older man. He said, when you're preaching, remember this, that in every pew there is a broken heart. I said, what do you mean? That's the way I preached. I was hellfire and damnation. I was here to fight right here in Mississippi. And he said, you just think about that when you're preaching, that in every pew there's a broken heart. Well, it took me a while to learn that. But I know that it is a problem to be happy all the time. But God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not only in the command tense, but regardless of circumstances. The Apostle Paul is in prison illegally, and he's writing to this congregation, and he says, rejoice. As a command. Now let me ask you this. If you want to be happy, you know who wants to make you happy? The devil. The devil offers you happiness. I think this is what happened in the Garden of Eden. When God said, you do it this way, do anything but this tree, you do it. And the devil comes along and says, God's holding out on you. He says, he really doesn't want you to be happy. But I can make you happy if you go ahead and do this. And so they do it. And what happened? Things collapsed around them. You know, we had a guy here in Mississippi who was extremely happy and extremely successful. Things were going his way. He was called upon and he prosecuted. No, he didn't prosecute. He brought a lawsuit against the tobacco companies and also the asbestos companies, and he became not a millionaire, he became a billionaire. He had it all. But then he tried to bribe a little judge, a federal judge up in a small county, and he wound up in jail for 6 years. And Dickie Scruggs came out about a year ago, and Dickie Scruggs wrote a column in the newspaper, the local paper here, 1 week ago. And in it he said this: after a year out of prison and back in society, I am shocked to learn that here in the public life, the people are angry and bitter. The people are living with hate in each other's hearts, one for another, much more than I experienced in prison. In prison, we were forced to get along, and we tried to get along, and had to, otherwise they'd ship us to a real prison at Leavenworth. But he said, I am shocked. But we're not shocked. We look at the life of people in society here, not only in the United States, but right here in Mississippi. And it is one tragedy after another in their relationships with one another. Right across the board, not only out there, but in the church as well. It is not at all unusual to walk into a church and find the people at each other's throats, and especially at the throat of the preacher, blaming him for it all. That's the way it is many places. That's why this is a place of joy and celebration today. It's joy. There's a great difference between happiness and joy. The difference between happiness and joy: happiness, it's got to go your way, and then I'll be happy. The problem with that, you live in a fallen, sinful world, and you can't even get right yourself. Never mind having everybody else get right and get right with you. But joy is different. Joy is not based upon the circumstances of your life or how other people are living or how even they are treating you. The Apostle Paul is illegally in prison. He says rejoice. Rejoice is a circumstance of inward peace and joy. It is a inward spiritual condition, not based upon circumstances. That's the whole background of this letter. Now, if you think, well, the Apostle Paul just mentioned it right here, rejoice, but the Apostle Paul, this is four short chapters to a congregation, and in that small four chapters, he mentions joy or rejoicing 17 times. It's the major thrust of the book of Philippians. Devil wants you happy. God wants you joyous. There's a world of difference for everybody. Let me give you some illustrations. Let's see. Let's start with Peggy Lee. All you older people, you know who Peggy Lee was? She used to sing. She had a song that went like this. Is that all there is to it? She starts out when she's a teenager, and they said, in teenager, you do this, and oh, boy. And she does it, and she says, is that all there is to it? She gets married, and well, is that all there is to it? It goes right up to everything that happens to her. Is that all there is to it? I'm a baseball fan. I'm a New York Yankees baseball. Don't get upset. I was preaching in a congregation, PCA congregation in Atlanta once. I'll tell you this story. It's right funny. And I'm preaching away about love. And I'm saying, you know, we've got four different kinds of words for love in the Greek language. But in the United States or in the English Bible, we just got one word. And love means, and I said, for instance, I love the Lord Jesus. I love my wife. I love the church. I love chocolate ice cream. And I love the New York Yankees baseball team. And they started booing. It's in Atlanta. So I had to tell them, wait a minute, Well, I was born in New Jersey, and when I was 8 years old, my dad took me to Yankee Stadium to see Lou Gehrig play. And I said, I've never turned back, and I'm not going to turn back. So afterward, that was the first service. They had two services. They put you in a room, kind of a big room, and got coffee, and people can come and talk to you about the sermon, or maybe some friend. We got a friend somewhere, baby, and he could talk to you, said, And so this guy shows up, young, big, tall guy, and he says, tell me about love. He said, I'm dating a girl in this congregation. I love her. I think I want to marry her. Explain that thing about love. So I went through it again, you know, and he went through it again twice in there, and everybody's listening. And he says, by the way, I'm going into New York next week, and I'm going to go to the New York Yankee Stadium. I said, whoo, take me with you. I said, you got your tickets? He said, no, I don't got no tickets. I said, you got to get tickets? He said, tell me about that, love. I said, you got to get your ticket. You can get on, you know, you got to get your ticket. You got to get. And finally he looked at me and he said, I don't need a ticket. I said, you got to have it. Yeah, I don't need a ticket. He said, I play right field for the Braves. I looked at him. I said, Vancouver, I saw you play in Pearl last year. And he married that girl. He hit a home run that night, too. I want to tell you, the whole thing about this thing of joy and love, you're not going to find it if you're looking for it in happiness. It can only come as you look at it in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know the old vaudeville thing about there's a spotlight and the guy on his knees and a policeman comes walking up and he says, what you doing, buddy? He said, I've lost my car keys. Let me help you. You've seen this. And he gets down with the guy and they're looking and looking. And finally he says, did you lose your car keys here? He said, no. I left them over there. He said, well, why are we looking here? He said, it's dark over there and the light's shining here. You see, the devil is going to come and shine the light. You're listening, young people. He's going to shine the light on saying, here is where love and joy, and this is going to give, hey, right here, right here, right here. And that's where the devil is shining his light. And he's trying to convince you over and over again. And I want to tell you, he can easily convince you because where he shines the light, you can be happy for a while. For one thing, it's like drugs. Why do people take drugs? They know it's dangerous. They know it's dangerous at the university. Why have they taken it? Man, it gives you a lift, buddy. Make you happy for a while. Then you got to have more. Then you got to have more. And the first thing you know, you got a problem. Or it can be anything. It can be the love of baseball. It can be the love of just for your wife and nothing else. Or for your mom or dad, or for your little boy who's 8 years old. You center on any one thing other than the Lord himself, and you can have joy for a while, for a season. Let me tell you about a man. He had the opportunity of living in a degree of wealth and happiness that you could not even dream about. His name was Moses. And he was regarded as the Pharaoh's grandson. You know the story. And he could have. Once Jane and I were in Egypt, and we were at the National Museum, and they took us in and showed us King Tut's tomb. Well, it wasn't his tomb. It was just a little bit of his tomb. But they told us that they had nearly a ton of gold and diamonds. And they stand from about here from the wall, and you see it in there, and it's one casket and another, all pure gold. And King Tut was nothing. They found that all. They used to hide it. And they found it in 1920s. Moses could have had everything, but in the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter and in the 24th verse, it says, he regarded the pleasures of sin for a season. For a while, yeah. Not worthy to be compared with the glory of God forever. That's your choice, young people. You want to have fun? You can have it for a while. How about you businessmen? You cheat a little bit, you can have fun, make money. For a while. That's what he does, the devil, for a while. But not forever. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. And it is not only a rejoicing now, it is a rejoicing forever. It's going to get better and better and better when we die. That's Moses. By the way, you know where Moses is in Hinds County? He's on top of the court building, the county court building. He's up there in a statue. You know what he's holding in his hands? The Ten Commandments. In Jackson, Mississippi. They don't have the devil up there. They got Moses. It's the same way in our Congress in Washington. They show you a profile of all the great leaders of the world and the great leaders of the world except for one. He's straight on. Who is it? Moses. Who understood that joy can come for a season in sin, but it ain't going to make you happy because you live in a fallen world, you're going to get in trouble. Moses is an example. Let me give you another one. There's a teenage girl, and she is really pretty and athletic, and she dives into the water right after high school graduation, and she hits her head. It's not as deep as it usually is, and she's paralyzed from her neck down. Her name is Johnny. She was in Atlanta after all of this. I have a granddaughter. When she was 10 months old, in a little stroller, in her own driveway, mother at the letterbox, picking up the letters, and a guy, an older man, doesn't make the curve. And he just misses my daughter-in-law, but he hits my granddaughter in that little carriage and knocks her 40 yards up into the next guy's yard. And in an amazing way, oh, she's got a plate in her head. She was blind for a while and all that, you know. But she's come through it all. But she gets in line. She's in college. She gets in line after Joni, who is paralyzed from here down, and who grew so bitter within a few months that she asked some of her friends to help her commit suicide. Now, she's a Christian, but she ain't happy. And finally, there's a Presbyterian preacher gets a hold of her instead of the people who are saying, if you just have faith enough, you can come out of that. And he talks to her about the providence of God, that you can rejoice always. You can trust God in everything. And she comes out of it. Joni is 60 years old today. She's written books. She draws by putting a pen in her mouth, and she is happy. And when she sees my little granddaughter coming, something must have clicked. There's a whole line. She said, "Give me a hug." She understood immediately. I want to tell you, I don't care what your circumstance is. You can rejoice in the Lord and it'll make all the difference in the world if you rejoice in the Lord. I picked up on this early in my ministry, right here in Clinton. On Monday morning, I would go to two people who were in a home, their own home. I would go first of all to a woman and then a man. The woman was in the same bedroom for 10 years. She had been a French teacher at Tulane, and she had been affected by a disease that she got from one of her family members in a sinful way. She was forced upon it. Here she is, and she is joy. She's got a map, and she wants to know what the sermon was, and she's got the missionaries of the world, and she's got money and everything, and she doesn't ever leave. She dies after we left that church. It got to the point where I could hardly understand what she was saying. And I'd tell her, and then I'd go in this joy here. I'd go to this one, and here was a retired man who had fallen and hit his head in his bathroom, and he was a CEO at one of the major companies in the United States, and he was really hurting and had all kinds of, and he was mean and bitter as a Christian. Two Christians. And I got to the place where I found out something. It was a whole lot better for me to go and talk to this guy first and then go see her. How about it, my friend? You got the joy of the Lord in your life? I didn't get this here. My nature was my sweet wife, she would like to go to bed when the sun goes down. She gets up when the sun gets up and she is happy. Somebody asked her one time, "Do you ever get up grumpy?" She said, "No, I just let him stay in bed and let God wake him up." Well, I went to bed at midnight and got up grumpy in the morning to get the kids off to school. But I understood we got to get joy. And so we had a little thing here. That if you came to the table, breakfast table, and we're not going to talk about this, we're going to have joy, joy, joy. Okay. And I said, if you're not having joy, I'm going to put you out in this hallway, and you teenage boys, you stay out there in the hallway to get right with the Lord, then you come back and you have joy. Then we go on with the meal. Okay. But every once in a while, one would say, "Hey, Daddy, you better go out in the hall." Well, I want to tell you, somebody here must be saying, some of you theologians, "Is this guy a Presbyterian? Are we in a Presbyterian church or a charismatic Pentecostal church?" Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ, at the end, hours before he is crucified, talks to his disciples in the upper room, and he says, "My joy I leave with you." He said, "In this world, in that upper room, ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. They're going to put me on a cross and kill me, but on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Right at the end, "My joy I give unto you." Then you got the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? How will I know? Well, the fruit of the Spirit will be there. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. It's just like the third, fourth chapter of Philippians, if you read that chapter. And then you look, what is this, a Presbyterian church? Almost 400 years ago, they took what Calvin preached and taught, and they put it together in a four-year conference. This is the theology of the Presbyterian Church. And then they put it in a place where they could understand it. It's called the Catechism, the Shorter Catechism. And the first church and the first sentence begins like this. The first question, what is the chief end of man? What are you supposed to be doing? What is your purpose on this earth? The chief end of man is to glorify God. That's real Presbyterianism. Give it your best. Your chief end is to glorify God. I don't care what you're doing tomorrow. And enjoy Him forever. That's real Presbyterianism. That'll make your life zing. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I'm going to quit right now, but before I quit, I want to tell you there's a lot of things that I've come along. How I was a Yankee, when I came down here, when I went to seminary, it's a long story, I won't go into the whole thing, 27 years of age, had never even been to a funeral. But I got saved. The first thing I knew, I couldn't believe it, I wound up in seminary. And then they gave me a church in a place in Elberton, Georgia, outside of, and for the first time, I get music that I never heard before, like, Love Lifted Me. I never heard that in my life in Chicago. And then they had me with some young people one day, little children, and they were singing a little ditty. I never heard it, but I thought it was really cute. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I never heard that. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Well, I thought that was cute. Then I got to thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And I want to tell you, of all the great hymns I sing, I guess I will sing to myself as much as anything else. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. It's that profound. Rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, God says, rejoice. Come to Christ. Trust Him. Believe in Him. In thick or thin, I've got the joy. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again, by the way, I'm not talking about ha, 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 slap you on the back. How you doing, buddy? Let me tell you this one. I don't think that was the Lord Jesus. Do you think that was His personality? How about Paul? I don't think so either. He was an intellectual. I've got the joy, joy down in my heart. So we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that this is a great day of rejoicing because of the celebration of this church and the great ministry of this church. But Lord, we thank You every day. We thank You in circumstances when our hearts are broken, that there is a joy that the devil and this world cannot take away from me, that it is the joy of the Lord. We follow You, Lord Jesus. We follow You regardless of what You think is best for us, because all things will work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Lord, we're not just the chosen frozen. We are the chosen rejoicing. Bless this congregation. Bless that heart that has come on this day seeking seeking for something that will never go away, and we'll lift them and lift them up. Young or old, lift them. Hear our prayers, Lord Jesus, the silent prayers of these thy people, in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.